The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. So head to netsuite.com/wallstreet right now.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, March 12th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, from furniture to car parts, Facebook Marketplace seems to have it all. These days, that could also include scammers. We'll hear from WSJ personal tech reporter Dalvin Brown about why complaints about scams are rising and how to avoid them. And then, BlackRock, the world's biggest asset manager, has gone from being skeptical of crypto to being one of the Wall Street firms embracing it. We'll find out what's behind the reversal and what it means for investors with WSJ reporter Vicky Ge Huang. But first, buying something online means opening yourself up to a potential scam if you're not careful. Facebook Marketplace is no exception. Users are increasingly complaining about fraudulent listings and payment cons. WSJ personal tech reporter Dalvin Brown is here now to tell us what we can do about it. Dalvin, give me the Facebook Marketplace 101. When did it start and what was its vision?
So Facebook Marketplace was launched in 2016, and initially it allowed people to connect with their neighbors to buy and sell products. It was sort of like a garage sale, but virtually. And then through the years, Facebook added more tools that allowed you to buy from people who lived virtually anywhere.
Craigslist and eBay already existed. What did Facebook Marketplace do that was different?
One of the exciting things about Facebook Marketplace is it was local on an app that millions of people organically were using to interact with people. And then it also gave you the added benefit of being able to see the profile behind the person that's listing the product. And so what users told me was that being able to see the profile gave those accounts a bit of credibility, and users said that they trusted that.
Fast forward to now, complaints about fraudulent listings on Facebook Marketplace are rising. What does that fraud look like?
Sellers are telling me that they get inundated by supposed real buyers that are sort of saying the same thing, and it's indicative of bot behavior. What they also say is that people are often trying to move transactions or move communication off platform. And then what buyers are seeing is listings for products that may not even exist, or listing for products that are counterfeits. I spoke to one person who thought he was buying Apple headphones that can cost maybe $500. He spent $300 on them. Turns out they were counterfeit. People are using Venmo, Cash App to pay for some of these things. And they say that more often than not, it seems they get no refund at all.
Why is this happening now?
One of the things that fraud experts told me is that Facebook Marketplace has become more popular. It's a sign of Facebook's scale and then also just people's ability to manipulate the tools.
What has Meta said about this problem?
Meta says it gives people tools to report fraudulent sellers, and it also does offer some purchase protections for people who use its payment platform, Meta Pay, which doesn't seem to be the most popular. But Meta does say that if you use Meta Pay and order a product that doesn't match its description, that you may have some protection.
What can people do to avoid getting scammed on Facebook Marketplace?
One, pay close attention to the seller. So look at their profile. If they don't have a profile picture, if they just started the account yesterday, if they don't have any reviews, all of those things are red flags. And so you may not want to buy from that person or try to sell to that person. Also, if they're saying the same thing that lots of other buyers are saying to you in DMs, if they're asking you to text them suddenly, things like that are also red flags. Avoid sending deposits for high-value items. You want to make sure that an item is authentic, that the person who listed it actually owns it, is actually selling it, can show receipt verification for it. Don't be afraid to ask for a FaceTime or video call before you send a deposit for a high-value item, because you may not get that money back. And if you're meeting up in person, don't invite anyone to your home. Don't let them know exactly where you live at. And then when you do meet up with them, make sure that you take your time to inspect the item before they leave.
That was our personal tech reporter, Dalvin Brown. Coming up, could buy-in from BlackRock help legitimize crypto? That's after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. oracle.com/wallstreet.
Back in 2017, Bitcoin was less than a decade old, and investing in it seemed risky. Maybe that's why, at the time, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink was critical of cryptocurrency. Now, just 7 years later, the former skeptic is helping to take Bitcoin mainstream. BlackRock manages the fastest-growing Bitcoin fund. The firm rakes in billions of dollars selling Bitcoin in a low-cost and popular exchange-traded fund, or ETF. WSJ reporter Vicky Ge Huang joins us now with more on what that means for the company, for investors, and for crypto. Vicky, back in 2017, what did BlackRock CEO Larry Fink have to say about crypto?
In 2017, Larry Fink, like a lot of Wall Street titans, had a pretty negative view of Bitcoin. In fact, he called it an index of money laundering.
Okay, so it's 2024 now. How has his view changed?
These days, Larry Fink is really the Wall Street CEO responsible for bringing Bitcoin to the mainstream investors. His firm, BlackRock, now runs one of the fastest growing Bitcoin funds in the world. And his company also has a series of partnerships with the largest players in the crypto industry.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about what BlackRock's involvement is with crypto.
BlackRock's journey to crypto actually started back in 2015 when some internal employees who were very passionate about blockchain and Bitcoin were trying to figure out what kind of role blockchain or digital assets could play within BlackRock. But it was still very early days in the history of Bitcoin and blockchain. Throughout the years, and especially during the pandemic, BlackRock's clients started asking the firm for low cost and easy access to Bitcoin. BlackRock started studying the industry to develop a digital asset strategy. And in 2022, with the crypto exchange Coinbase, they had this partnership that allows BlackRock's institutional clients to access crypto through an integration with Coinbase's institutional arm. And then BlackRock also invested in Circle Internet Financial, which is a stablecoin company that issues this stablecoin called USD Coin.
Why did BlackRock CEO Larry Fink's position change about crypto?
So Larry changed his attitude because of persistent and increasingly stronger client demand. And BlackRock has always maintained that its objective is to provide access and choice to clients. There are, of course, skeptics saying that BlackRock is in the space to earn fees. And even though the fee is pretty low compared to a lot of other commodity funds, BlackRock has gathered more than $10 billion in assets for their Bitcoin ETF at this point. And the fees do add up when you're operating at this scale.
How has BlackRock's support affected the crypto industry?
On a perception level, BlackRock has really lent legitimacy to the space and especially to Bitcoin by launching this Bitcoin ETF. Ever since BlackRock filed its application to launch a spot Bitcoin ETF in June last year, the price trajectory of Bitcoin has been upward. From a price perspective, BlackRock getting into the space really helped propel Bitcoin higher.
And what do industry critics say about BlackRock's embrace of crypto?
Industry critics believe that BlackRock could face reputational risk if something were to go wrong with the price of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a very volatile asset, and it could go up or down any day based on no real fundamental catalysts. So if Bitcoin were to crash like it did in 2022, a lot of mainstream investors could get hurt, and that could in turn hurt the reputation of BlackRock.
How does BlackRock's approach compare to that of some of its competitors like Vanguard?
BlackRock's approach is extremely different from Vanguard's approach. Vanguard has said that it has no plans to create a spot Bitcoin ETF or any crypto-related product. It doesn't allow any Bitcoin-related funds or crypto funds to be made available on its brokerage platform either.
Looking ahead, what is on the horizon for BlackRock's future with crypto?
BlackRock's crypto ambition extends beyond just Bitcoin. In fact, shortly after they filed for a Bitcoin ETF, they also filed for an ETF that would hold Ether, which is the second largest cryptocurrency behind Bitcoin. So while it's unclear whether the regulators would approve the launch of an Ether ETF, you can tell by BlackRock putting in this application that they have more plans in mind than just Bitcoin.
That was our reporter, Vicky Ge Huang. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by me, Alex Osola, with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.